Good afternoon, everyone. Before getting to my remarks, let me introduce my lovely wife, who is here, Chantal Mubenga, and my daughter, Sarah Mubenga, as well. I am both humbled and honored to stand before you today as the newly appointed superintendent of Buffalo Public Schools. I want to sincerely thank the Board of Education for placing the trust in me. I do not take this responsibility lightly. I'm deeply grateful for the opportunity to lead this great district. For the past 28 years, I have dedicated my life to serving students, educators, and communities across the state of North Carolina. My journey in education has been of one of transformation, collaboration, and relentless commitment to student success. I have been known as a leader who supports principals, empowers educators, and turns around schools and districts facing deep challenges. I'll let my record speak for itself. I'm proud that my work was highlighted in the New York Times Magazine in March 2023. But more important than any recognition is the impact I have made in the lives of young people. Now, here I am in Buffalo, New York, ready and excited to begin this new chapter. To the staff and educators of Buffalo Public Schools, I'm here because I believe in you. I believe in the incredible work you've done and continue to do to give our students the best possible opportunity, educational opportunities. I know this district with my heart. This is a great district with heart, with grit, and with a deeply rooted commitment to excellence. Buffalo is one of the most diverse school districts in the nation, representing 100 countries. That's not just a statistic. It's a powerful strength. Our students are being prepared not only to succeed here in Buffalo or across the United States, but to lead in the global community as thinkers, innovators, humanitarians, and global citizens. I'm excited to join this amazing team, and together we will stretch toward the horizon of unlock the untapped potential with every student. And to our students, you are my number one priority. All right. Every decision I make will be centered on your success. I want you to know that I will work hard every single day to assure you receive the highest quality education in the learning environment that is safe, nurturing, and inspiring. I will also work to motivate and support the educators around you so they can give you the tools, the care, and the confidence that you need to strive not just in school, but in life. To our parents, community partners, and elected officials, I believe strongly in a shared responsibility. The work of educating our children cannot and should not be done alone. We need each other. I promise to keep the lines of communications open, to share both our successes and our challenges, and to invite your voice and your partnership as we work together to build something great for Buffalo's children. Our students deserve the very best, and with your support, that's exactly what we will give them. In closing, I'm here to honor the work of my predecessors and to build on their successes. I come not with all the answers, but with a listening ear and a servant heart and a bold vision for what is possible. Again, thank you to the Board of Education for this incredible opportunity. I'm grateful to be here. I'm ready to get to work. And I know the members of the press are here. They're ready for questions. I know Jeff is here. We'll direct them how we're going to proceed. And I'm available for your questions.
Dr. Mbenga, welcome to Buffalo. Your previous district, Durham, North Carolina, you resigned amid a pay raise scandal that, you know, rippled through that district. Walk us through what happened there and how can you guarantee that won't happen here?
Thank you. I'll start off by saying I've been in that district for almost 7 years. That's a long tenure for any superintendent in an urban district. With that particular district, when I got there, there were 56 schools, and 10 of the schools, they were labeled F schools. In North Carolina, they go A to F. It's just in a matter of a year, we got it to one F schools. That's the amazing work that we did. In the area of finance, all the 6 years that I was there, we had what we call unmodified audit. That's mean our finance team, they were doing great work. When you have a district with somewhere around 32,000 students, unmodified audit for 6 years, we did great work. Durham Public Schools, when I was there, I worked really hard with elected officials to make sure that our principals, they were the highest pay in the state. We're number one. Then I took on this task to make sure that we gotta work with what we call our classified employees so that they can also become competitive. Classified employees, you mean bus drivers, cafeterias, you name them. So with that, I work really closely with our elected officials to make sure we're getting the funds that we needed to make sure that we implemented that salary study, which was additional $10.7 million. For some reason, when my chief financial officer, when he was cranking numbers, there was correspondence that it was about $20 million. That the superintendent was not aware. So for some reason, I think, because when I say 6 years of unmodified audit, that means my CFO was doing a great work. But when you have a large district where you have about 100 vacancies every year, you may have about $5 to $7 million, what we call lapped salaries. For some reason, it thought, I can rely on these lapped salaries to make the difference of what we're able to receive from county commissioners. But you don't do that because when you're paying employees, that's reoccurring expenses. You cannot rely. Can you imagine if you fill all the positions, you're not going to have that lapped salary. So we got to a point where we wanted to implement that salary study. It got a check. So it was over budget. So long story short, the whole transcript is online. You can look it up. It's available. We got to the point where we wanted to make a decision, say, wait a minute, we don't want to continue with this because by April, we're not going to have enough to be able to honor payroll. It did not go well. So that's pretty much the short story. And then behind the scene conversation that I had with the board to the point where I resigned. But folks will tell you this, even the teacher union will tell you this, we did not want our superintendent to resign. We did some great work. And I believe today, when they're going to find out I'm here, a lot of folks in the community, they're going to say, we regret that our superintendent left us. So I wanted to start with academics. We did great work. Finance, we did great work. Unfortunately, one situation, that's the way it turned out. But I'll say this. This is what I said to the board when they asked me this question. The board hired one person, superintendent. Superintendent hired everybody else. When things goes well, I take credit for it as well. When it goes wrong, I take responsibility for it. For that reason, I was able to learn from that particular mistake. And to answer your specific questions, I'm not expecting that to happen here because I learned my lessons.
Y'all hear that?
Nailed it. 7 years at Durham, 28 years altogether. Explain why your background fits the situations that, you know, BPS, I'm sure you've known and you've seen, has.
Durham Public Schools is an urban district. It's the only district in the state of North Carolina. We have, they call themselves a union, right? So very progressive. Student population, we have somewhere around 46 African-American students. About 33% Hispanic students, Latinx, depending on the way you want to call them. Then 18% white. Asians was probably somewhere around 1 or 2%. Then when I was applying here, I look at the demographic, and I look at the data as well. That's my forte. That's things that I like to do. I don't like to go to a district that is really perfect. I like to go to a district where I can add something, some value there, so we can improve student achievement. And when I look at that, I look at the size, and for some reason, I say, I really wanted to come up north too, to be able to explore a different part of the nation other than just North Carolina, where I spent more than 38 years. So I'm delighted to be here.
One of the things you did as principal of a high school in North Carolina, you brought the graduation rate up from 60% to well over 80%. And obviously you continued that success based on my research as a superintendent. What will you implement here in Buffalo to improve graduation rates?
I'm not gonna brag. I was a great math teacher. I always believe once you're a good teacher, you can scale it up. I was a good teacher, same practices I had. I had to build good lessons. I got to the school level. I did the same thing as well. And I always wear the hat of a teacher. My personality, when I say I'm a teacher and I'm a servant, I carry that same philosophy to the superintendency seat. And that's why I was successful. And the best practices at a small school level, at the classroom level, you can scale it up to the superintendency level. And I'll tell you this, when I was superintendent of Franklin County Schools, which was about somewhere around 9,000 students, when I got to Durham, which was about 33,000 students, folks would look at me and say, ooh, how are you gonna do this? I say, good practice is good practice. So if I have a license to drive a small car, I can drive SUV as well. So that's what I'm doing.
How did this board, you know, make you comfortable enough to choose Buffalo?
I'll start with Dr. Capuano, who made me really at ease when he did a screening process. It went really well. It was very genuine, and we were able to speak about a lot of issues. When I came here, first interview, it was very authentic, and I can see the body language that this is a good place for me. And when I was invited for the final rounds, I was like, this is the place. And not only that, when I look at the questions they gave me about those priorities, and I was able to break it down and say, this is where we're gonna be. I'll say this, I did not come with all the answers because I have my 100-day intro plan, because I want to listen to you first. I'm not going to duplicate what I did in Durham or North Carolina to here. This is a different place. I'm going to listen. While I'm listening, I know students are going to be here on September 2nd. I'll be leading at the same time because I got to pick up some of these quick wins. But I feel really comfortable looking at the demographic, the place, and all that. And the board really gave me good vibes. That's why I'm here.
I did want to piggyback off of Nate's first question. Also, Dr. Mubanga, welcome to Buffalo.
Thank you.
But this question is for the board. So knowing his background, like, were there any concerns about this, and why didn't this specifically just qualify his candidacy?
You know, Dr. Kathy Evans Brown, board president. Dr. Mubanga was very transparent. He answered the question that you asked him the same that he did during his interview twice. It never changed. Because of our systems that we have in place, sophisticated systems, and qualified people, and the board, excellent staff, we know that confidentially that financial matter that made headlines in Durham will not be repeated in our district. He will have the support he needs in Buffalo.
Thank you.
Dr. Mubanga, teachers we have spoken to have said, you know, they've never been able to sit down with the superintendent as a group without other administrative staff around and to have an honest conversation about what's going on in school. Will you commit to doing that, meeting with several teachers from various schools throughout the district without administrative staff to have an open conversation?
Absolutely, yes. I'll meet with teachers by myself. I'll meet with principals by myself as well. That's just been my practice.
Dr. Mubanga, one of the big changes coming up this year is the cell phone policies in schools, and I know that it's been a talking point among teachers. It's been a talking point among parents on both sides of the spectrum. What are your thoughts and your stance as a superintendent with banning school cell phones in school and ensuring that students are focused on the learning rather than everything else that's kind of leading in?
I think New York State made a good decision. North Carolina just followed that decision as well. I think that's the right thing to do. We all know, even growing up, if you don't have that restriction, it's going to be really hard for you to focus. I think that was the best decision that's going to help all children.
Dumumbenga, just a question. I'd just like to tell you that I'm very impressed. I really am.
Thank
I was a little doubtful, but at this point in time, I work at one of Buffalo's premier international schools, and I run the attendance office. So one thing that is very aligned with our district is the demographics of your school. The African Americans and the Latino are almost equal here. And that's very impressive. The other thing that might be different is teacher salaries are much higher than where you come from, and we're negotiating a contract right now. The other thing is, I understand you speak a few languages.
Four.
Well, you know, I can't wait till you come to Lafayette High School and you can meet our international students that are there. And there's just one thing also. Where you're coming from, and I'm wondering how you can do similar here. The teacher-student ratio is lower, yet you have more students than we have here. I want to know how you can do something about our schools and make it comparable like that, because that is a problem.
I was really impressed when I saw a ratio of 1 teacher, 10 students. I don't want to jump the gun. I really would like to get to a point where I'm going to listen to different stories. Why? And then when I look at student achievement, if I'm looking at 1 to 10, I say we should be better than where we are. But the challenges may be different, because I look at data when it comes to student attendance can be an issue as well. So I'm going to work closely with my cabinet as well as our principals to make sure that every school improvement team that they have, that we are addressing that attendance issue, so we can end up in a better place. So I'm not gonna go too fast, but give me time during my 100 days, try to listen to every constituency and all the stakeholders, then we're gonna come up with a good plan to be able to move us forward. Most urban district, I have issues with attendance, but I don't know at what level. I look at briefly at the data, it was not looking really appealing, but I think that's something that definitely we're gonna be able to tackle.
Any members of the press have questions?
What languages, name the four?
I speak four, I speak English, French, and there are 2 African languages, Swahili and Lingala, that make it 4.
And then a little bit more hard hitting here, I'm sure you know about this investigation that BPS is currently conducting, Richard High. Speak to me your concerns about that. Do you know the situation? Have you talked to the board members? Where do you stand on this, and any updates on that?
No, I have not had that conversation with the board, but what I read, I think the board took really the right step to be able to invite independent party to be able to investigate on that. So I'll be waiting for the results and the outcome of that, and then we'll move forward once I become more knowledgeable about the particular situation.
The board really seemed to like your school transformation model. Can you tell us just a little bit about that?
I think I said this before. I was a great teacher, and I used the same practices. I can break it down as I can scale it up. As I became principal, I took a school that was one of the lowest one in the state, that the state wanted to take over that school. Within 3 years, we got it from whatever proficiency, 67 to close to 90. So from that point, I skipped the school. The State Board of Education recruited me to go and work with other schools in the state. So, there is no silver bullet here. So give me time to really understand, to grasp the needs of this particular district. Then there are some good practices that we can put in place. But I said this before during my remarks, I respect and I honor the work of my predecessors. So I'm not going to come and start all over. I'm going to build up on what's there left and then go forward.
Regarding your contract, did you negotiate a winter coat in that or no?
That's a good question. So maybe I'm going to need some advice on that.
What's the name of your book?
My book, I don't want to do any publicity here. You just go Amazon and just put my name there. So I did not really push it too much. So, yeah.